بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. An incident is narrated here. A person who had plenty of wealth, he hoarded everything he could. He constructed a magnificent mansion which had two doors. He appointed servants to guard the doors. On the completion of the mansion, he extended a big invitation which included all his friends and close associates. He sat down on a throne with one foot up and the other resting on the throne. His guests were busy eating while he was saying in his heart, "Everything has been hoarded and preserved. For several years there will be no need to purchase anything." While saying this, a beggar in tattered clothing entered the doorway with a beggar's bag hanging around his neck. He began banging the door so loudly that the sound reached the throne. The attendants ran outside to see who this insane person was. They asked him what he wanted. The beggar replied, "Send your master to me." The attendant said, "Will our leader come to a beggar like you?" The beggar replied, "He will definitely come. Go and inform him." They went to the master, related to him what had transpired. The master said, "Did you not punish him for what he had said?" In the meanwhile, the beggar banged the door even louder for a second time. The attendants rushed to the door. The beggar now said, "Tell your master that I am Malakul Maut, the angel of death." There was an era when Malakul Maut used to appear in human form. So in this incident, he came in the form of this beggar. So the beggar said to the attendants, "Tell your master that I am Malakul Maut, the angel of death." Hearing this, they lost their senses. When they told their master, he also became stunned and he said with great humility, "Tell him to take somebody else in my place." In the meantime, the beggar came inside and said, "Do whatever you wish. I am not returning from here without extracting your soul." The rich man had all his wealth collected. He addressed his wealth, "May Allah curse you. You prevented me from the worship of my Lord. You never allowed me time to remember Allah Ta'ala in solitude." Allah Ta'ala through His power gave the wealth the power to speak. The wealth replied, "Why do you curse me? Through me you reach great kings. At times when pious people were driven away from the doors of these kings, through me you attain the pleasure of elegant women, and through me you live like kings do. I could not resist when you squandered me in evil places. If you spent me in good places, I would have been of use to you." Thereafter, Malakul Maut extracted his soul. So here also we learn, when the appointed time comes, a person may have built a huge mansion. Before he gets the opportunity to use that palatial home, the time comes for his death, he has to leave the world. Like we heard over the last few days, the importance of accumulating as much good amal, good actions as possible, sending them forward for the akhirat. They will be of comfort and solace in the qabr on the day of resurrection. They will benefit a person when the amal are weighed in the scale of deeds. And yesterday we heard there are certain actions that have a negative impact on the good deeds. They nullify the value and the reward of the good deeds. So as a continuation, we know that we are all prone to committing sins. It is only the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam whom Allah Ta'ala has safeguarded from committing sin. Otherwise every human being is prone to committing sin. So together with good deeds, we all are sinful. But one thing to remember, no matter how many sins a person commits, he should not become despondent. Should not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Pin his hopes on Allah Ta'ala, that if I make sincere tawbah to Allah Ta'ala, Allah will forgive my sins. The Quran Kareem tells us that قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That all my Nabi say to the people, that all my servants who have transgressed against themselves, those who have done a disservice to themselves by committing sins, Tell them that do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. Allah Ta'ala forgives all sins. He is oft forgiving, merciful. A hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gives us great hope that kullu bani Adam khatta'un wa khayrul khatta'in at-tawabun aw kama qala li salatu wassalam, that all of mankind are sinners, but the best of sinners are those people who turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a month of repentance to seek pardon for our sins. We have all committed sins. Pour our hearts out. Ask Allah Ta'ala to pardon our sins. Inshallah, the month will go by in such a manner that we have a clean slate. Our sins are inshallah forgiven. So important not to become despondent. Another inspiring story in the hadith we read of a man of the previous nations who had committed 99 murders. He killed 99 people in cold blood. But eventually became tired of this. He began to ponder over his misdeeds, over the crimes that he committed. He thought that before death, I have to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. So he was looking for an avenue where people can guide him how to repent for his sins. He went to a certain rahib, a devout worshipper, but this person was not an alim. He took advice from him. This person, instead of giving him hope, made him even more despondent. He says, you have committed 99 murders. There is no hope for you, no forgiveness for you. So this man, this murderer, became enraged with fury that this man is making me even more despondent. So he killed this devout worshipper as well, completing the century. 99 murders, but this is the 100th murder. Then he went about searching for some avenue where he can get some direction in life. This time he went to a learned person, to an alim, and the alim guided him. Then go to a certain locality, there are pious people engaged in the worship of Allah Ta'ala, making the dhikr of Allah. Go sit in their company, they will advise you how to sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he started traveling that direction towards that locality. But Allah decreed that before he could reach that town, halfway approximately, Malakul Maut came and extracted his soul. He passed away. When Malakul Maut extracted the soul, two groups of farishtas arrived. The Malaika of Rahmat, angels of mercy, whose duty and function is to take the souls of good people, deposit them in a lofty place known as A'la Iliyin. And the Malaika of Azab, of punishment, also appeared. Their duty is to take out, to accept from Malakul Maut the soul of an evil person and deposit it in the lowest of the lowest places, in Asfar al-Safilin, where the souls of evil people rest. So now there was a tussle between the two groups of harishtas, that who should take the soul of this person, where should his soul be deposited. The Malaika of Rahmat was saying, this intention was very, very sincere, to go and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah will inshallah accept his repentance. We should be entitled to deposit his soul in a lofty place known as A'la Iliyin. But the Malaika of Azab said that a man that committed 100 murders, how can he be forgiven? We shall take his soul away. Eventually, they asked Allah Ta'ala to make the decision. So Allah Ta'ala said to the farishtas that measure the place, the distance, to the destination of that town, locality where he was headed, where good people live, engage in the dhikr of Allah, and measure the distance from the place where he committed that last 100th murder up to this point where he passed away. If he is closer to the destination that he was heading for, then the Malaika of Rahmat will have the good fortune of taking his soul. And if he is still closer to the place where he committed the last murder, then the Malaika of Azab will take his soul. The distance was measured. When it was measured, he was found to be closer to the place that he was going to seek repentance. According to some narrations, he died exactly halfway. Allah Ta'ala commanded that other portion of the land towards his destination to compress itself in a way that when the land was measured, Allah Ta'ala made that destination appear closer than the place where he left committing the last murder. So Allah Ta'ala decreed his forgiveness. So imagine a person that committed 100 murders. He also did not lose hope, did not become despondent. Allah Ta'ala forgave his sins. That is why it is said, Niyatul Mu'min khayrun min amali. That a believer's intention is sometimes better than his action. When a person puts something into action, sometimes there is vanity, ostentation, bragging, showing off. But when he makes an intention that is in his heart, between him and his Creator, Allah Ta'ala knows the sincerity of that intention. In that intention there can be no ostentation, no bragging, no showing off. So on that basis, Allah Ta'ala can judge and pass a decree for forgiveness. If you walk down the corridors of history and study Islamic history, we will find many incidents that give us great hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will inshallah forgive us. We take the case of a tabi'i by the name of Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullah alayh, who was put to death by Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi was appointed as the governor of Kufa by the Amirul Mu'minin of the time, Abdul Malik bin Marwan. He was of the Umayyad dynasty. So he appointed Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi as the governor, his deputy, to rule in Iraq from the capital, from Kufa. But this was a true oppressor, a tyrant, Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. He was infamous, notorious, for the amount of people he killed in cold blood, for no reason whatsoever. For petty reasons, he would become enraged and kill the person, have the person beheaded. Some historians write that he killed up to 125,000 people. So if that figure is exaggerated, definitely a few thousand of people he did kill in cold blood with no valid reason whatsoever. He enjoyed killing. He enjoyed looking at the flowing of blood. So no person has the right to criticize government. If someone would even let out a peep out of his lips and that offended Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he would put that person to the sword. Such was his oppression and his tyranny. He also had many other bad habits. For example, in the masjid where he was an imam, he used to perform salah very, very late. Sometimes there was a likelihood of the time of namaz expiring and the namaz becoming qada. One incident mentioned in the narrations that once he was performing Jummah salah. First of all, he commenced the Jummah salah quite late. And then, before the salah, the khutbah that they gave was so lengthy that time went by, few hours he took in that khutbah. And in the khutbah, he was merely insulting, hurling abuse at his opponents. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in were sitting in the gathering, waiting for Jummah salah to commence. And they could not hear all this nonsense. But they had no option but to remain seated. And they saw the time going out, the time for Jummah, time for Zuhr is going to expire. But no one dared stand up to walk out to the masjid, because Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi is on the minbar. You can see a person getting up, leaving the masjid. That would sound his death knell, that he would take that person to task and behead him, kill him. So some Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in were seated in the gathering, waiting for Jummah. When they saw the time expiring for Jummah, they were forced, while sitting in their places, with gestures, they perform the Zuhr Salah, so that the namaz does not become qaza. In one masjid, Hajjaj bin Yusuf performs Zuhr Salah very, very late. A few doors away, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, the special assistant of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the demise of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to reside in Iraq. So he was living a few doors away. Although he was a neighbor of the masjid, he did not go to the masjid because he knew the habit of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, that he would perform the Zuhr Salah very late with the risk of time expiring. Some people perform the Zuhr Salah behind Hajjaj bin Yusuf, and then they went to make the ziyarat to visit Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, a great sahabi. When they went to his home, already Asr time had entered. So he said to them that follow me in Asr Salah, because he knew that if we go to the masjid to perform Asr Salah, Hajjaj bin Yusuf will delay the Salah up to the point where they would enter the makruh time just prior to sunset. So Anas bin Malik radhan with these few people performed Salah with Jamaat at his home. So this was the type of person, Hajjaj bin Yusuf. He killed several Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in as well. Before Abdul Malik bin Marwan was the reign of Yazid bin Muawiyah, the son of Muawiyah radhiyallahu ta'ala, people were not happy at his leadership. The people in Makkah too were not very happy with him. They refused to pledge allegiance to him. So Abdullah bin Zubair radhiyallahu ta'ala, a famous Sahabi, the son of Zubair bin Awam radhiyallahu ta'ala, and the grandson, maternal grandson of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, was residing in Makkah. The people of Makkah said to him that we will pledge allegiance to you. You become our Amir. So when he took the bait from the people, Yazid bin Muawiyah became enraged. He sent an army to attack Makkah al-Mukarramah to capture Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. The army was unsuccessful. But when the reign of Abdul Malik bin Marwan came, he made a second attempt. He sent an army, and the commander-in-chief of the army was the same tyrant, Hajjaj bin Yusuf. This was in the year 73 Hijri. So this army was successful. It released the city of Makkah from the occupants, and Abdullah bin Zubair radhiyallahu anhu in that skirmish was martyred. So in this manner, Hajjaj bin Yusuf put to death several Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and innumerable tabi'in were killed by him in cold blood. He loved to kill, that was his passion. That is why the day when he died, according to some reports, people like Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi made sadda of shukr that Allah Ta'ala has removed this person from the face of the planet. This tyrant, this oppressor, that used to kill people. According to another report, Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi made the statement that this is the Fir'aun of this ummah. Like Fir'aun used to love to kill people, he killed many people among the Banu Israel. Similar the case with Hajjaj bin Yusuf. So this was a tyrant. Just on a lighter note, an incident about him written somewhere, which I read in one place, that once Hajjaj bin Yusuf, the same tyrant, he wanted to take a bath in a certain river, so he went into the river. So either he got a cramp, normally he could swim, but some difficulty occurred, and he was on the verge of drowning. There was a person passing by, he did not recognize Hajjaj bin Yusuf, but he thought to himself, there's a man in distress. He was a good swimmer. He jumped into the water and holding Hajjaj bin Yusuf dragged him to the shore, to the bank, and saved him. Hajjaj bin Yusuf was so grateful. He said to the man, thank you for saving my life. Tell me, what is your wish? Whatever you wish for, I will grant. So this man thought to himself, is this perhaps some great personality, some governor, some king? He's prepared to give me any wish that I put forward to him. So he asked him, introduce yourself. Who are you? So he said, I'm Hajjaj bin Yusuf. He had heard about Hajjaj bin Yusuf. First time he met him personally. So he said, you ask me to put forward any wish. My only wish is, listen, don't tell anyone that I saved you from drowning. If I knew Hajjaj bin Yusuf, I would not have saved you. So nonetheless, this was Hajjaj bin Yusuf. He was a very intelligent person. When he became governor of Kufa, he knew because of his tyranny, the pious ulama will curse me, they will make bad dua against me. So he held a huge banquet invitation, invited all the ulama of the town, but they were not aware. In the food, he included haram food. He fed them haram. Because he was intelligent, he knew that when a person consumes haram, his du'as are not accepted. This morning in the Talim, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah's bayan we read, there also, that one of the conditions of the acceptance of du'a is that a person consumes that which is halal. Haram consumption becomes a deterrent from the acceptance of du'as. So even Hajjaj bin Yusuf knew this. So then he sat down very much satisfied that I fed the local ulama haram, their du'as against me, their curses will have no effect. Such was his intelligence, such a shrewd person he was. We read in the hadith too, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلْ أَشْعَثَ أَخْبَرَ يَرْفَعُ يَدَيْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرِ يَرْفَعُ يَدَيْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبْ يَا رَبْ وَمَتْعَمَهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِحَرَامٌ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَاوِ لِذَلِكَ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes mention of a person, ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلْ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرِ, on a lengthy journey, in a very pitiful state. His clothing is full of dirt and grime, hair is disheveled. Any person looking at him will take pity on him and provide all his needs. But yet, when he turns to the provider of all needs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls out, O my nourisher, O my cherisher, makes dua to Allah ta'ala. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, because his food intake is haram, what he drinks is haram, his nourish is haram, his clothing is from haram sources, so how can his dua ever be accepted? So this was Hajjaj bin Yusuf. In the light of these types of ahadith, he fed the ulama haram, securing himself from the curses of this ulama. The last person he managed to kill was a tabi'i, as I mentioned, Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi. That was the last person he executed. Captured him, brought him to his court. His servants imprisoned him and brought him to Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Hajjaj bin Yusuf was looking forward to killing Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi because he knew this is a huge critic of mine. He criticizes my government, he speaks out the haq, speaks out the truth, condemns me, does not condone my oppression, my tyranny. So he was looking forward to killing him. When Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullah appeared before Hajjaj, Hajjaj first asked him, tell me what is your name? He said, my name is Sa'id bin Jubair. Sa'id means one who is fortunate, a fortunate person, Sa'id. And the son of Jubair. Jubair means something that has been trimmed, made prim and proper, fortified. So I am the fortunate person, son of a fortified father, very strong father. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf sarcastically said to him that your parents gave you the wrong name. They should have named you Shaqi bin Qusayr. That instead of being the fortunate one, they should have named you Shaqi, the wretched person. Ibn Qusayr, son of a broken man, not of a trimmed, fortified man. To this Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullah boldly replied that my mother named me and my mother knew better than you what name to keep for me. I'm happy with that name. Hearing this, Hajjaj bin Yusuf went into a rage of fury And he said, I'm going to put you to the sword. So he said, that proves all the more that my mother was right in naming me Sa'id. That if I die as a martyr, what better fortune, good fortune, can a person look forward to? Then Hajjaj bin Yusuf said to Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi, then listen, what is your opinion about me? So Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi said to him, Anta qasitun adil. The people in the palace became relieved that now Sa'id bin Jubair has praised Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Because one meaning of qasit means to be just, to be fair. And adil also means to be just. So the people heaved a sigh of relief that perhaps Hajjaj will spare him. He has praised Hajjaj bin Yusuf. But as I mentioned, Hajjaj bin Yusuf was a very intelligent person. He knew a critic of mine will not praise me. He knew that the word qasata yaqsitu in Arabic is a word with dual meaning. It means to be just and it also means to be oppressive. We find both examples in the Quran. So depending on the context where the word is used, the translation is made accordingly. In Surah Hujarat, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَقْسِطُ إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. That be just. Allah Ta'ala loves those people who are just and fair. So here, قَسَطَ أَقْسِطُ means to be just and fair. But in Surah Al-Jinn, وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. That those who are tyrants and oppressors, they will become fuel for the fire of Jahannam. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf knew that Sa'id bin Jubair is taking the second meaning into account, not the first meaning. As far as the word adil is concerned, adil means a just person, but it also means a mushrik, an idolater. In the Quran, وَهُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. That the mushrikeen, idolaters, equate the idols with Allah Ta'ala. They ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala. So here, ya'dilun does not mean to be just. It means to be a polytheist, a mushrik. So this was a person with iman. But Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullah was indicating that he is behaving like a mushrik. Like Fir'aun's behavior, killing people in cold blood for no reason whatsoever. Fir'aun was a mushrik, a kafir. So he's also behaving like a mushrik. In that sense, he called him an oppressor, a person akin to a mushrik. So this enraged Hajjaj even more. Immediately he said to his people, they take him to the dungeons, to the executioner, and behead him. So the attendants began to take him for execution. On the way, Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi laughed out loudly. Hajjaj bin Yusuf heard the laugh, and he said to his attendants, bring him back. I want to know why is he laughing. So Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi came back. When Hajjaj questioned him, he said, I'm laughing at your boldness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala's clemency towards you. Allah Ta'ala is giving you rope, and you are so bold and brazen to execute innocent people. This made Hajjaj bin Yusuf even more angry. He thought to himself, I will not even send him to the dungeons. I will have him executed in my presence, have him beheaded here. But before that, Hajjaj bin Yusuf asked him, they tell me, how should I kill you? Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullah replied that in the same way that you would like to be killed, you may kill me. This angered Hajjaj bin Yusuf. So he said, what if I forgive you? Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullah says, true forgiveness is from Allah Ta'ala. Your forgiveness holds no water in my side whatsoever. No weight whatsoever. So then Hajjaj bin Yusuf said to his men, behead him immediately. Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullah took permission from Hajjaj that allow me to perform 2 rakahs nafal salah before I go and meet my creator, before you martyr me. Hajjaj bin Yusuf permitted him to perform 2 rakahs. This was a sunnah established by a sahabi, Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala, when he was brought to the gallows to be executed in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mushrikeen of Makkah captured him and sold him to the sons of Harith bin Amir, because Khubayb bin Adi had killed Harith on the battlefield of Badr, so they wanted to take revenge. So he was captured, brought into the marketplace, sold as a slave, and the sons of Harith purchased him with the view of executing him. They kept him imprisoned in their home. One of the ladies of the household, who was later blessed with Islam, when she accepted Islam, she used to comment about Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala, that I never saw better behaved prisoner, very well behaved. She relates that while he was tied up in chains in our home, imprisoned, my little child, 2 or 3 years old, playful, went to sit in his lap. And before that, Khubayb bin Adi rahmatullahi borrowed a razor. He wanted to remove his unwanted hair, underarms, armpits, etc., before he's executed, before he's martyred. So the child goes into the lap of Khubayb bin Adi and the razor in his hand. The mother was horrified. Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu anhu saw the look of horror on the mother's face and consoled her. Do you think I'm going to kill this innocent child? I will never do that. The same lady says, while Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu anhu was in prison at our household, on one occasion, when the menfolk did not give him food to eat, in order to torture him, she says, I saw in his hands beautiful fruit, out of season fruit. That fruit was not even in season in Makkah al-Mukarrama. So this was assistance from the unseen, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala provided food for him. So when he was brought to the gallows, about to be executed, he also took permission to perform 2 rakahs salah. His captors permitted him. Thereafter he said to them, if it were not for the fact that you would have thought that I am dilly-dallying and delaying the inevitable, I would have taken permission to perform more salah. But 2 rakahs are sufficient, do what you have to. So then they executed him, they martyred him. Before he was martyred, he recited the famous couplets in which he shows gratitude for the bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala gave him the opportunity to be martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, فَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُؤْمِنًا عَلَىٰ أَيِّ جَنْبٍ كَانَ فِي اللَّهِ مَسْرَعِي وَذَلِكَ فِي ذَاتِ الْإِلَهِ وَإِنْ يَشَأْ يُبَارِكْ عَلَىٰ أَوْصَالِ شِلْوِ مُمَزَّعِ. He recited these couplets, that I do not have a care in the world, because I am giving my life, laying down my life, for the cause of the deen of Allah Ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah. And then he says, even if they desecrate my body after martyring me, they dismember my body, cut into bits and pieces, then to have hope, Allah will send down His blessings, His mercy upon every portion of my body. After they executed Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala, they sent him out to the desert sands, strung him up, hung him up, waiting for the vultures to devour his body. But before he passed away, he made dua that Allahumma kuntu ahmi deenaka fahmi lahmi. O Allah, I used to protect your deen, you protect my body, my flesh from desecration. So vultures did not arrive, which was unusual, in the hot desert sands, to devour the body strung up. It is said for 40 days his body remained hanging. They waited for the vultures, but the body remained intact, fresh. did not even decompose. Nabi Sallam was informed by divine revelation. He sent two Sahaba, Hazrat Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala, to try and release the body. When they got to this place, they found two people guarding the body. They waited for the guards to feel a bit sleepy. When the guards fell asleep, they went slowly, cut off the rope, released the body of Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala. Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala put the body onto his horseback. And now these people became aware. They went in hot pursuit. These people on horseback. Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala realized that because of the extra weight of this corpse, perhaps they will catch up with me. So he slowly, gently released the body of Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala. Allah caused the earth to open up and took in his body very gently. That became his khabar. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was informed of this, he gave him the title Bali'ul Ard, that the person whom the earth gently took into his bosom. So nonetheless, Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi also took permission to perform two rakats nafal. Hajjaj bin Yusuf granted the permission. When he completed the two rakats, he was facing the Qibla and he recited the verse from the Quran, Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal ard, that I am being martyred in such a condition that I am facing the direction of that creator, that cherisher, who instructs us to face the direction in our ibadat. He has created the heavens and the earth. So when Hajjaj bin Yusuf heard this, the Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullah is pleased to be martyred in that direction, he said to his attendants, before you behead him, turn him in the opposite direction. The opposite direction was the Qibla of the Christians of that time, in order to anger Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi. But he was not angry. He recited another verse from the Quran, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Whichever direction you turn, we get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if you kill me in that direction, I am not perturbed whatsoever. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf then said to his people, put his face onto the ground, not facing this way nor that way, and then behead him. When he was put onto the ground, he recited the verse, Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum. We have been created from this soil. We will return to the soil. We will be resurrected from this soil. In that way he was finally beheaded. When he was beheaded, so much blood flowed out from his throat like a river that even Hajjaj bin Yusuf was amazed. He had killed thousands of people. He never saw so much blood gushing out. So he consulted his doctors, physicians, that what is the reason for this unusual phenomena. So they said to him that this is a sign that when this person was beheaded, he was fully composed, tranquil, no worry in the world whatsoever. He was pleased to leave the world and meet his creator. So for that his blood became thin. Other people, when they are executed, they are terrified. They are fearful. This causes the blood in the body to curdle up, to clot. So blood does not gush out in this manner. So even he was amazed. So this was the last person that Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi killed, Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi, a mere 15 days after his execution, the death of Hajjaj bin Yusuf took place. And he did not die in old age. He was 54 years old when Hajjaj bin Yusuf at the time of his death, only 54 years old, middle-aged. But Allah Ta'ala gave him a terrible death. He became so ill, his stomach became infested with vermin. Body temperature dropped so low. It was a hot summer's day, but he was shivering, feeling cold. His attendants brought several stoves next to the bed to provide warmth. Even that did not give relief to him. His mother came to visit him while he was in throes of death. She's telling him that what fate awaits you in the akhirat. You kill so many people. I'm worried about you. So this is the reason why I'm mentioning the story. Do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. Hajjaj bin Yusuf said to his mother, "Oh mother, you showed mercy unto me when I was little, when I was a child. You are the creation of Allah. Why will the Creator not show mercy upon me?" People gathered around his bedside, and now he began to confess his sins, his tyranny. He said a few couplets in Arabic, the gist of which was that I'm leaving the world with a burden of sins on my shoulders. The weight of the sins is heavier than the sky and the earth. And then he burst out in tears. He even moved the assembly to start weeping and crying. People gathered around. Then he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, you grant me salvation. Even though people say that you will not forgive me, people have no hope that you will show mercy. But oh Allah, I have full hope in your mercy that you will forgive me." So even this tyrant died with iman, keeping hope in the mercy of Allah. When Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah was informed that these were the final words of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, even Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah had to concede that if he died with this hope, then there is hope for him, that inshallah, Allah may forgive him. So in spite of his tyranny, he contributed a great amount of service towards deen. In our Quran, the Arabs, Zabar, Zair, Pesh, that we see, the diacritical marks, he is a person that had those Zabar, Zair, Pesh put into the Quran. Such a great service. Which is why ulama say that we should remain silent about the fate of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Why should we take upon our shoulders backbiting, ghibat, especially about a deceased person? Let Allah be the judge. He died pinning his hopes in the mercy of Allah. If Allah wishes, Allah can forgive him. We hope Allah will forgive him. By making ghibat about him, slandering him, backbiting, we are taking a burden of sins upon our shoulders. In the hadith, Nabi Sallam says that "Uzkuru mahasina mawtakum," especially when people die, speak about their good qualities. One good thing he did, he put all the zabar zair pesh in the Quran, which did not exist before that time. This was Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Even a creature, creation like shaitan, iblis, the devil incarnate, although he's been rejected by Allah Ta'ala, destined to eternal doom and damnation, even he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. What dua did he make? When Allah Ta'ala commanded him, together with the malaika, to bow down to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that bowing was not an act of worship, just between the lines as a marginal note. In previous shariats, bowing before someone was a hallmark of respect for that person, to honor that person, not to worship him. But our shariat has laid down strict rules that even in order to honor someone, you are not allowed to bow before him. Avoid any such action that resembles polytheism, shirk, even in a distant way. So we are not allowed. Their permission was given. And shaitan refused to bow down to Adam alayhi salam. His pride that, "Oh Allah, you created me from fire. Fire rises up. He is created from soil, which is trampled upon. Why should I bow down to him?" So Iblis was banished from Jannah. But even when he was banished, he knew the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Wa rahmati wasiat kulla shay. He knew Allah Ta'ala loves people making dua to him. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعْ. Allah says, "I'm close to everyone. I listen to their du'as." When Allah Ta'ala banished him, then to him made dua, رَبِّ أَنْظِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Allah, keep me alive until the day of Qiyamah. Allah acceded to his request. فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ. You are giving respite up to the day of Qiyamah. So even he had hope that the dua will be accepted. And the dua was accepted. Yet, he is destined for eternal doom and damnation. The reason, as the Tani Rahmatullah gives, in a beautiful way he puts it, that there are four ayns. Shaitan manifested three ayns, but he was deprived from the fourth ayn. What three ayns? First and foremost, he was an abid, which starts with an ayn. Devout worship of Allah Ta'ala. Before this event took place, it is said, there was not a space in the entire sky that was left without Iblis prostrating to Allah Ta'ala, making sadda to Allah Ta'ala. Such a devout abid, worshipper. And then he was also an alim, very learned person, which is why we read about Imam Razi rahmatullahi, when he was in the throes of death, shaitan appeared and asked him, prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Razi was an intellectual person. He produced one proof. Shaitan tore that proof to shreds. Another proof. Shaitan disproved him as well. In this way, 100 proofs. He provided 100 proofs for the existence of Allah. But shaitan is a reply for everything. Imam Razi about to leave the world. That my iman is being shaken. Will I live in this condition? Allah Ta'ala informed the Shaykh, who was in a distant place, that your murid is in this dilemma. The Shaykh made dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah guide my murid. And the message Allah Ta'ala sent through the channel of the Shaykh to Imam Razi, that tell Iblis that you believe in Allah without any proof. You don't need proof. Our Nabi has said to us, Allah exists, He is one and only. That is sufficient for us. When he said this, then shaitan left the scene. So he was an alim too, the second ayn. And he was an arif. He knew the temperament of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why he made this request, that Rabbi anzilni ila yawmi yubafun. But what was lacking? The fourth ayn, he was not ashiq. He had no love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he had love, the Quran says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you love Allah, then follow Allah and His Rasul. If a person does not follow Allah and His Rasul, he has no love for Allah. He rejected the command of Allah, so he had no love for Allah. So he had the three ayns, abid, alim, arif. But he was not ashiq. So because of being arif, even he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. So why should we not make dua? The month of Ramadan, the month of forgiveness, pour our hearts out, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah Allah Ta'ala will accept our repentance. And the month goes by in such a way that inshallah we all have a clean slate and we turn over a new leaf and we become punctual to the commands of Sharia and to the sunnahs of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us tawfiq.